This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. It's 7:07 a.m. on Tuesday, the 21st of March. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar with Keith Kham. In half an hour, we're going to discuss the thawing of icy relations between Japan and South Korea. But as always, we're kickstarting the morning with a look at how global markets closed overnight.
Wall Street staged a relief rally in the hope that the banking turmoil might be contained. The Dow Jones was up 1.2%. The S&P 500 was up 0.9% and the Nasdaq was up 0.4%. Asian markets earlier in the day, however, were still reeling from the whole UBS buying over Credit Suisse and all the banking issues. The Nikkei ended 1.4% lower. Hang Seng was down 2.7%. Shanghai's composite was down 0.5%. Singapore's STI was down 1.4%. The FBM KLCI ended 0.7% lower but still managed to stay above 1,400.
All right, for some thoughts on where markets are heading, we have on the line with us Song Seung-woon, economist at CIMB Private Banking. Good morning, Seung-woon. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Now, market pundits are predicting that the Fed will raise interest rates by 25 basis points this week, despite current turmoil in the markets. What are your own expectations for the FOMC meeting?
I think that sounds about right. Basically, I think despite the current market volatility and jitterness surrounding the bank sector or worries about recession, it doesn't look like it significantly impacted the labor market conditions, and that still remains fairly supportive of spending, which is why I think the Fed continues to be wary that if jobs are still being created and not as many jobs are being lost, due to market turmoil or other rejigging in different parts of the economy, then, you know, they can still proceed. But perhaps given the market volatility, they can proceed at a more cautious pace, and they will continue to be, I think, guided by data. So it will still be a case of data dependent as they tweak their rates, and perhaps even, you know, the dot plot will give a clue to what extent they think that the economy is still fairly resilient.
Seung-woon, what I noticed was that the overnight European markets and Wall Street, they staged very, very convincing rallies. Does this kind of mean that the global financial crisis has been averted, or do you see more headwinds in the banking sector?
Fingers crossed. I'm sure there'll still be challenging conditions. Basically, with the Fed set to bring their top Fed fund rates to 5%, you're essentially looking at, you know, the top rates having sort of gone from nearly zero from over a year ago to now 5%. So the lag effect of the higher cost of borrowing will ripple through the household sector, the business sector, and certainly I think we're all essentially watching out to see whether, you know, the economy broadly will see some moderation in economic activities, or will it start to, you know, feel the lag effect more significantly, which is why I think I go back to looking at the labor market condition again. If businesses are still looking to hire than to fire most of the time, then looks like recession worries, while it will continue to be there, will continue to be pushed back, because businesses and households can still tolerate the higher cost of borrowing.
Seung-woon, I think we're watching what's happening with Credit Suisse and the buy over by UBS. I think there's news coming out overnight that there is concern regarding some of their bondholders. Could you walk us through, I suppose, what's happening there and how that might affect the bond market moving forward?
This is very interesting. I think this is where, again, in the particular tier of debt paper yield much higher. So it comes back to the basic principle of higher risk, higher return. But in this particular case, you know, it's going to be, I suspect, a bunch of lawyers that are going to be arguing whether you know, the risk has been clearly laid out, or to what extent regulators can write them off. I would say in this instance here, we already have seen, I think, American lawyers, you know, talking to the bondholders to talk about possible actions. So this is where, again, where, you know, it will be, I think, decided in court, I suspect, in terms of the more legal terms, to what extent higher risk means higher return, or higher risk also means no return. So I would say watch this space.
What do you think the sentiment is amongst investors with regards to these developments? They seem to be quite positive about it, right?
Well, certainly regulators around the world, US, Europe, and even Asia, have put plenty of liquidity to try to essentially draw a line under the buyer. And we'll see. The markets in US and Europe seems to have taken the latest development in stride. We saw the banking sector and banks' shares rebounding. But obviously, it's still early days as we wait for the Fed decision and then to see what other things and development will take place or happen on the ground with regard to the U.S. Regional banks, whether the amount of liquidity that is given out there and guarantees on deposits, etc., will help to soothe confidence or soothe depositors or worries and jitters out there. It's really a case of whether market confidence can be restored, and the central banks and regulators around the world are trying their, hardest again. So again, we'll wait and see for development and keep our fingers crossed as we await the Fed decision.
Let's turn our attention to news coming out of Singapore this week, Sang-woon, and that is Singapore's February CPI figures. We're expecting them to come out on Thursday. With the Singaporean economy firing on all cylinders, what kind of inflationary outlook are you expecting to see?
It's still elevated, coming back again to what we were talking about earlier about labour market conditions still being supportive of spending despite the elevated prices that we are currently still releasing. The only thing which will help is that the higher year-ago base will help to push the year-on-year number now. I mean, this time last year, we were talking about inflation around headline of around 4% at the start of the year. Then it moved to about 7% by the middle of the year. So the higher base of last year will help moderate the inflation. But again, I think it will still remain fairly sticky, primarily because labor market conditions is supportive of wage growth and spending side. So we could still see headline inflation hovering around that 6% mark, down from the 6.6, I think, if I remember, in January. But that's mainly because of the higher base from last year, helping to moderate the year-on-year inflation. But I think sequentially, it is still be fairly firm, although there will be some festive theme in play. Chinese New Year was in January, so we see food prices being high. In February, I think lousy weather condition, rain, I think everywhere, we got more expensive kangkong from Malaysia, or cabbage and tomato from Cameron Highland here. So higher food prices could still, again, keep headline inflation elevated in February.
Meanwhile, Sang-woon, dollar ringgit has not been able to break the 450 level for some time. What will it take for a currency to strengthen against the greenback and other currencies, given that the Fed is still likely to be more hawkish on interest rates?
I suppose this is where it comes to what extent we think the Fed is done with tightening, or will there be room for more? And also flip around to the other side, to what extent regional economies, emerging economies like Malaysia, the rest of ASEAN will do in an environment where, China reopening has helped create extra demand, and whether we see exports starting to pick up steam again because of improved demand, and whether recession risk will be tapered, even though the risk still remains. So it's plenty of factors at play here, but primarily, I would say, direction of U.S. interest rate and to what extent, we certainly have seen Bank Negara sort of on hold now. So if we were to see the Fed holding or starting to hold, that might be more supportive of regional currencies, including our ringgit.
Sang-woon, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Song Sang-woon, economist at CIMB Private Banking, commenting on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead. Really all eyes waiting on the outcome of the FOMC meeting this week and how much the Fed is going to hike interest rates.
Yeah, and that generally plays into the strength of the US dollar. And I get nostalgic when I look at the dollar ringgit at 450 because I remember the time when it used to be at 250.
Oh, those halcyon days. In any case, it is 7:17 in the morning. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll continue looking at the top stories in the newspapers and portals. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.